¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Okay.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
No Paul today. No Paul the rest of the year. I've been traded for Paul, as you all know, and further proof of that with today. Another episode of Branham and George. Brian filling in on the board. Maybe not filling in. Might be his permanent new move. We'll see. But Branham and George until 3 o'clock on a Monday. Last show on this station for the year. We will be off the air. Not off the air, but nothing local tomorrow. Nothing local on January 1. Plus, we'll be carrying all the college football playoff games. So that's really cool. Joe, I saw that you took Joseph to his first ever Rocket game yesterday. I hope you covered his eyes in the last 45 seconds. Did you stay for the end?
We pretty much made it all the way until the last, like, 3 minutes of the game.
So you missed the drama.
Yeah,
you missed the good part.
We missed the last, like, 5 minutes. He was checked out. It was time. Look, he's 3 years old. Like, the fact we made it that far to the fourth quarter surprised me. But, yeah, we missed the good stuff. I had to watch the end of the game. I taped it. I always tape it. Wasn't going to watch
VHS
it.
VHS or what?
A DVR.
Gotcha.
I DVR'd it. Sorry.
Hey, thanks for the invite, by the way. Appreciate you inviting me to the game with you guys. It looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Would really like to be there with you, a dear friend.
Yeah, we're going to fly in from wherever you're at right now in front of a bed.
Would you have invited me if I were in town?
No.
Then there you go. It's a moot point where I'm at.
You'll be invited to his birthday party.
What's that?
You'll be invited to his birthday party.
Okay, just saying. You know, I thought we were Facebook friends. I'm friendly enough with you to be a Facebook friend.
You were invited
to know that Joseph was going to his first ever Rocket game.
You were invited to my wedding. That's good enough.
Is it good enough? I would have liked to have been there for Joseph's big day.
That's true. That's fair.
Maybe his
first Astros game. We'll do that.
What'd you think of the plus, I mean, I'm not going to accept the invitation, but it's always nice to be asked. It's always nice to be asked. What'd you make of the last 45 seconds? Where do you want to start? You want to start with the men? You want to start with Fred Van Vliet? You want to start with the officiating Mark David? Where do you want to begin with this?
I mean, Ahmed Thompson.
The drama.
Like, what a just WWE takedown. I mean, that was a great move on his behalf. He's just
acknowledge me.
Yes. That was full on what that was. It was awesome. Like, that was fun. I still don't really get how it got to that point. I know they're face to face, but like, it was like going from confrontation to full on takedown very quickly.
I couldn't figure out what sparked it either. Like, the Rockets were getting in position to like defend the inbound or whatever, and like, I mean, Amin kind of just, you know, he's kind of putting his arms on the like little arm bar to see where Hero's at. It looked like Hero maybe kind of tied his arm up. And that's what started to get them, like, locked up. And then, you know, men grabbed them by the lapels, the left and right lapel. And then Hero must have said something. Like, Hero must have said something to him because Amin Thompson let him know that he is the more physical, stronger of the two guys.
Yeah, it was – so, I mean, starting there, like, I mean, whatever was said, like, I mean, I don't even think it was, you know, borderline, like, or, like, over the line or anything like that. There's definitely going to be suspensions that are, you know, thrown out from this. We saw – pretty hefty suspension thrown out in a game last week as well from two guys. What was that? Like the I can't remember who was playing in that one. But it's like a man, like he's probably going to get suspended for 2 or 3 games. Wouldn't be surprised if there's other guys who were suspended from the Rockets as well for another game at least. But whatever it was, this is kind of who the Rockets have been for a year now. I mean, really since Ime Udoka called LeBron James soft and told him to quit bitching during a game, they've been getting into scraps nonstop. Really, for the last year. Paul and I, before the season, we set the over-under at fights for the year at like 4.5. It might have even been higher than that because it's just like they're just a tough team.
The what is the fight total at?
I think it's only at 1. I think that was the first one of the year.
Yeah, I can't remember another one. I think that Amin's going to get a few games, and I think Jalen might get one. I think that's it. Like, nobody came off the bench. No one else was really part of the melee, like, in terms of instigating it, because there's only two ejections from a player standpoint, Amin and Jalen. A little surprised Tyler Hero got thrown out of the game. Like, what did Tyler Hero do to deserve to get thrown out of that game?
That's,
you know,
why
what I mean?
I feel like he must have said something to instigate it. Like they must have said – he must have done enough to instigate the being thrown to the ground to where he was deserved to be thrown out of the game. Also, probably just, like, probably the right thing to do. I imagine it's kind of untenable to leave him in the game after that.
Yeah, that's true. He had the here. Did you hear what Tyler Hero said after the game?
Yeah.
Brian, I don't know if you have it, but here was what Tyler Hero after the game about the scrum.
Two competitors going at it, playing basketball.
And that it got a little out of hand. It's not every single night that you have all those texts and all of those ejections. Was it building to that, or was it just a standard physical game that just had one of those igniting moments?
Just a physical game. I guess that's what happens when someone's scoring, throwing dimes, doing the whole thing. So I get mad, too.
There you go. Tyler Hero, arrogant in victory. He's not wrong, though. Like, Tyler Hero, 27 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. He's not wrong. Like, what he said is actually true. Like, he had a really good game.
No, he's the reason why, like, as much as Pat Riley wants to come out and put out statements that they're not trading Jimmy Butler, like, what he did last night is kind of the reason why you probably should trade Jimmy Butler and start just thinking about the future and building around him, because he's a good basketball player. I don't know if he's can be a great basketball player, but on a night like last night, he was clearly the best player on the court on both sides, I would say.
Yeah, he had some critical moments in crunch time. I've had sports hate for Tyler Hero for a long time, so now the rest of Houston is coming around. He was at Kentucky, hit a big shot in a Sweet 16 game against Houston. Mm. That really gave Kentucky the win, and then, you know, you eliminated Houston. So I've had a healthy sports hate for Tyler Hero for quite some time. So I enjoyed yesterday's moment maybe more than most people. I've wanted to personally do that to Tyler Hero for like 7 years. So the fact that Amin Thompson was able to do something that I've wanted to do for 7 years makes me very, very jealous. But I do like this attitude from the Rockets. Like, I want to be the most physical team on the floor. I want to be the team that, okay, we better bring our, you know, we better be ready to scrap when we play the Houston Rockets, because I think that reputation can a lot of times help you. I think a lot of times a team will face you and be like, you know, I'm not really into this tonight. So I like that aspect of the Rockets. I think it's one of Ime Udoka's greatest strengths, is that he's brought toughness to this team in a pretty short time, because they were not tough under Steven Silas. Like, they were the opposite of this. They were passive. They were weak. They were meek as well. And now with Ime Udoka, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, maybe with Amin Thompson, some people around the league are like, that was kind of Bush League. I don't care. Like, I don't care. I want that reputation on my basketball team. I want the other teams around the league to know when you face the Rockets, you better be nice. You better be very respectful to them, because if not, you're going to get slung to the ground like Amin Thompson did to Tyler Hero. The Fred VanVleet 5-second violation, 47 seconds to play-ish, somewhere around there. Rockets were down by 4. What'd you make of that whole situation, the 5-second violation and then the eventual ejection of Fred VanVleet?
Yeah, I think the ejection's soft. Like, I know it's because what they said in the pool report, it's basically because he re-engaged after. I mean, I think he gets the timeout. Like, it's close. I'm not surprised he got ejected. I mean, Fred VanVleet, like, he has an issue with referees. What was it, Tony Brothers that he commented on last year when he talked about him pretty negatively and pretty publicly? So I'm not surprised. It's probably the bump there that he gives the referee that gets him the actual ejection, which, duh, don't touch a referee. That's going to get you thrown out of the game. I mean, I don't know how you have a 5-second violation in the NBA. That's my biggest takeaway from it.
What do you mean?
I mean, just these things shouldn't happen.
What do you mean? Like, from what point of view, though? From, like, the official's point of view or from the player's point of view?
From the team point of view. Like, either get the ball in. Either get the ball in or get the timeout in. Like,
yeah.
It shouldn't be on Fred to call the timeout.
I feel like a lot of the backlash from the city is kind of ridiculous, blaming the officials. Like, Ben DeBose is on one right now. Like, I'm a little worried about his safety. I want him to step off the ledge a little bit. And I love the guy, but my goodness. He's calling Mark Davis like a liar and corrupt NBA. He's losing his mind. This is how you feel if you're a Houston sports fan. Like, I feel for the guy. I feel for the guy.
Is his Twitter private yet from the backlash that he's gotten, or has that not happened yet?
I mean, I was seeing some stuff. I don't think it's private. I didn't go specifically to his page. I just saw some of it on the timeline. But look, here's my stance with this. Like, I agree with you. Get the ball in, dude.
Yeah.
Like, get the ball in. And a lot of people are looking at Mark Davis's like count, like, oh, we started it early. Okay, like maybe he gave his first pump the second that Fred VanVleet touched it, but also between the first and second pump and the second and third pump and the third and fourth pump and the fourth and fifth pump, it's longer than a second. So like if you just pull out the stopwatch, and I did this to see like how accurate and fair the resentment to Mark Davis was, I did it like 10 times, a dozen times maybe. I did it a lot. The fastest that I could do it, and I was trying to do it fast, from the moment that Fred VanVleet touches the ball to the moment that he takes, like, tries to signal for the timeout, and I was pretty quick on when he was signaling for a timeout, was over 5.5 seconds. Like, it was 5.6 for me.
But this
so
is...
That's a 5-second violation. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, Rocket fans. I know that you're all mad at the officials. I know that you're like, oh, my goodness, because Mark Davis got the 5-second violation wrong. It led to the brawl. What are you talking about? Mark Davis was right. It was 5.6 seconds, so he was right to get the 5-second violation. If you bump an official, it's an automatic ejection. No problem there. And it's like, oh, well, that bad officiating led to the brawl. What? How is that a correlation at all?
Yeah.
It was the right call on the 5-second violation. You can't bump an official. You can't touch an official. You touch an official, you're ejected, and there is obvious contact there. Obvious contact there. So that's an automatic ejection. And then now the Rocket fans are trying to say that the correlation between that call, which were both accurate, by the way, and the right calls is what started the brawl? What are you talking about? Y'all sound crazy.
So here's my problem with the 5 seconds for though. Even like I said, get the ball in or get the timeout in, either one. The problem that I have with this is an NBA problem. This is not a Rockets problem. And this is where like, I guess I'll defend Fred VanVleet here for a second. Is that they never call this stuff accurately. You watch an NBA game, there are guys who are pushing it for the 8-second violation, the 3-second violation inside the paint, 5 seconds on the inbounds, like they're so loose with the rules and actually following them. They give these guys passes all the time, which is why I think in this moment, we're like, Fred's clearly not even looking at the referee. That's part of the problem. At no point does he acknowledge.
He shouldn't be.
No, but like you have to be, if the count's happening to your right, like you have to kind of be at least a little aware of what's going on around you. But there is no
You got to be trying to pass it in.
Yeah. Well, I know, but like you got to, like, are you not listening? Or is he not, unless it's not verbal?
I think it's a silent count.
Is it silent?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, just get it in. Like, that, at the end of the day, just get it in. And there is no correlation between this and the brawl. If this is what triggered the ball, then that might be soft by the Rockets.
Yeah. I saw so many people, not even, like, Rocket fans, like, national people, too. Oh, the way Mark Davis let this game get out of control. What did he do? He called a 5-second violation that was accurate, and he threw out a player for bumping him. Yeah, that's what a referee's supposed to do. And, like, you're right that it's an inexact science with, like, the clocks, unless it's a shot clock or, like, you know, the 8-second half-court violation or whatever, because, like, you can literally look at the clock whenever you're you know, looking at that specifically. Maybe bump out – maybe use the stop clock. Like, maybe bring out a stopwatch on these to get it more accurate. I wouldn't mind that because it is inexact. Like, okay, 1 second, 2 second. And, Mark, you could also argue from the opposite view that Mark Davis's count was slow.
Mm-hmm.
So, like – hey, if you want to get super accurate about it, bring out the stopwatch. I wouldn't hate that because it would be more precise. It would be more accurate. At the same time, you know that you have 5 seconds to get the ball in, so get the ball in within 5 seconds. And if you're on the other side of this, let's flip it. Let's say you're a Heat fan. What if Mark Davis doesn't call that? Rockets hit the three. They get a stop. They come hit a game winner. Is that fair to the Heat? Is that fair to the Heat that because, you know, it was 5.5 seconds, it was close enough, they didn't call it? Like, what are you supposed to do as an official? You're supposed to officiate the game based by the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I would be ticked off as a Heat fan if he didn't call the 5-second violation when he had it for 5.5 seconds minimum. And then the other part of it, the technical foul, look, you can't touch a referee. And if Mark Davis doesn't throw out Fred VanVleet in that situation, you're screwing all the other referees around the league. Because now you've set a precedent that it's okay to make a little soft touch to the officials. So he owes it to all the officials to throw out Fred VanVleet in that spot. That wasn't Mark Davis's fault. None of that was Mark Davis's fault. He was right on the 5-second violation. He was right on the ejection of Fred VanVleet. End of story.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And honestly, like, this is one of those for me where people are going to be upset about this because it happened to the Rockets, and they're not going to look at it from the other perspective. They're not going to look at it from, like, well, what if they didn't, like you just said, like, what if they didn't call it, and what if the Rockets hit a three there? What if the script was literally flipped? Rockets fans would be celebrating. it all goes back to, the, I think, the bigger picture part of, like I said, like the refereeing in the NBA is so inconsistent that it's why people, fans, get so upset about what things are happening. But they got it right yesterday. It is the reality of it. This was the right decision. Like, Fred VanVleet walks into the referee. It is soft contact, but it is contact nonetheless. And you know what? Of all the players for this to happen to, this is the one guy you should not be expecting this from. You paid this guy, Fred VanVleet, a lot of money to be the veteran leader of this team, which includes, you know, not bumping a referee, getting the ball in within 5 seconds, making good decisions on and off the court, and he failed in that yesterday.
Yeah, and he actually owned up to it post-game. He was like, yeah, I've had a healthy respect of Mark. Like, he was pretty, like, actually, like, complimentary of Mark Davis in his post-game. He's like, hey, I put my team in a bad spot. I didn't intentionally bump them, so I don't want that narrative to get out that I'm out here bumping officials. Although he did bump an official. So, like, he actually owned it, which I appreciate, which also should, like, that's kind of a point to my argument here. Here was Fred VanVleet saying, hey, yeah, I didn't handle that situation in the best way. He feels like he got screwed on the five-second violation, probably to your point, because it's never called the same. Slopez on Twitch, still a weak call, especially that late in the game. Call that in the second quarter, not in the fourth, with less than a minute to go. Okay, well, then how do the Heat feel? Okay, we're going to let this five-second violation go because it's late in the fourth quarter now. You're screwing one team one way or the other. So what do you do as an official? You get it right. You get it right regardless. I hate the whole narrative. Well, you can't call that in the fourth quarter. Why not? But if you don't, you're screwing the other team over.
Yeah, and I hear you, but the problem is, like, that's how they officiate the rest of the game. Like, that's how they officiate, you know, contact on a full-court buzzer beater, you know, at the end of a game when there's clearly contact.
Well, how many times do you see buzzer beaters during the middle of a game?
No,
like,
I know.
You see it once.
I know.
So, like, you don't officiate it differently during the middle of a game versus late in the fourth quarter.
But you know, they definitely call things differently in the final 2 minutes of a basketball game than they do the rest of the game. So, like, that's just the Lopez's point. Like, no, I don't agree with it. I mean, they should call it correctly all the time. Like, these are basic rules. Like, this isn't, you know, a palming a basketball or traveling,
right,
things that happen all the time in the NBA game and rarely get called. This is one of those that should be like, this should be a black and white issue. Like, there should
absolutely
be any, there should not be any gray area with either of this part of where 5 seconds touching an official, none of it should have happened. You shouldn't have lost the basketball game also. Like, on a total, like, part of this, you should have beat the Miami Heat, and they didn't.
Yeah, let's get to that part of it. 713-780-ESPN. Busy show with Branham and George. New show here at the station. We got plenty to get to today. What are your New Year's resolutions for the three pro teams in the city of Houston? A 10-minute drill because it's a catchy name. We'll get to some Week 17 hot takes. What are your Week 17 hot takes? How you feeling after the Texans didn't play this weekend? You feeling differently about them today than you did prior to the weekend? Mailbag Monday, plenty to get to. 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Hopefully there's a lot of New Year's resolutions within that community. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. I think the Rockets are magicians, and I'll tell you why next. It is Branham and George on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
This is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George with special guest star Paul Gallant and recurring character Joe George, also featuring Sean Mapes.
No, not today. Paul and I have been traded. Brian is in for Mapes. We'll see what happens with the producers later date. We will not be doing anything local tomorrow, anything local on the 1st. We'll be carrying the college football playoffs, though. You can listen to that here. That's right, right, Joe? I guess I kind of just went rogue and said that.
No, that's correct.
That was the case, but I figured I was pretty confident saying that, and
yeah,
it turns out I was right.
Yeah, so, 30 minutes before the game tomorrow night, the pregame shows will start, and then it'll start right at 12 o'clock on the 1st and go probably to like midnight when Notre Dame beats Georgia.
Yeah, right. And that's a win-win situation for me, by the way. Notre Dame and Georgia. If Notre Dame loses, great. Don't like Notre Dame.
Come on, man.
If Georgia loses, what's that?
What do we do to you?
A lot.
Why don't you like Notre Dame?
I think they're vastly overrated for the majority of my life.
Okay.
So that, quite frankly.
Anything
I think
else?
They get a lot of, I think that they're privileged.
There's no
Caitlin
connection.
Clark of college football. I think they're privileged. I think they have a lot of silver spoon type of things.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm a little bitter. about it. Yeah.
I mean,
as someone who has to work for everything that they've ever gotten, I feel like a lot of Notre Dame gets handed to them.
That's probably fair.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And then Georgia, if they lose, great. I like to bash the SEC.
Yeah, see,
so that's a win-win for me.
It's really is for like the whole world, honestly, for the college football world.
Yeah, everybody loses. It'd be fine. So the Rockets, I think, are magicians. Why do I think that the Rockets are magicians? Not for anything positive and not for anything that they did intentionally, but I think we're missing the lead of yesterday's game, quite frankly, because of all the drama that happened late. Like, I saw some people saying that the Rockets got screwed. Well, their offense was doing absolutely nothing, and they were down by 4 points with 45 seconds to play when Fred VanVleet was called for a five-second violation. What were the chances that the Rockets win that game if Fred VanVleet inbounds it?
Probably not much.
Maybe 25%
yeah.
at best.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
At best, probably
yeah.
25%. So the outcome of that game was probably already determined before Fred VanVleet even caught the ball from Mark Davis. So like, okay. So the Rockets probably lost. Even if Fred VanVleet doesn't get the 5 second violation, the ejections don't happen. The brawl doesn't happen. Yet all we're talking about today is the Amen Thompson brawl. All we're talking about today is the ejections. All we're talking about today is Mark Davis. All we're talking about today is the Fred VanVleet altercation with Mark Davis. When the conversation should really be, for the second game in a row, the Rockets blew a late lead. They blew a 16-point lead against the Timberwolves in their previous game. They were up 7 with 7 minutes left to play yesterday against the Heat. So the fact that they had all this drama is actually saving face for the Rockets, because it's all that's being talked about with the Rockets when the storyline is, the lead is, that the Rockets against two teams that are above 500 blew late leads at home. And if they want to be like one of the better teams in the Western Conference, if they want to be this dark horse team, they can't be teams that blow late leads at home. And the bigger fear that I have, like the larger fear that I have when it comes to the Rockets as it relates to this season specifically, I don't think that they have a closer. I don't think that they have a guy that they can go to late in the game where the momentum's going the other way that says, okay, I'm gonna put this team on my back. I'm going to make a tough bucket. I'm going to get to the free throw line. I'm going to stop this negative momentum. And we saw it two nights in a row against the Timberwolves. I mentioned, you're down 16. You're up 16 points. You're up 16 points, and you went to sleep offensively because you don't have a closer. You're up 7 with 7 minutes left to play against Miami yesterday. You went to sleep because you didn't have a closer. That should be the storyline right now with the Rockets. That should be the lead story right now with the Rockets. And look, Alpi Shingun, he had a huge game against Minnesota. What did he do down the stretch? He missed a couple of free throws that would have given the Rockets the win. Fred VanVleet has been a little bit better lately than he had been at the start of the year. What is he doing down the stretch? My biggest fear, though, what is Jalen Green doing in these moments? Jalen Green's ball watching, lollygagging on the perimeter. So it scares me in terms of the Rockets being competitive in the Western Conference. I don't think that they have a closer that can put these games away.
You're right. I hate to say how right you are right now, because
I have great takes.
I didn't even think about like the fact that they choked a lead in the last two games, or not being able to close out the last two games, both at home. But in terms of a fear of Jalen Green, I don't know why it's a fear. I think didn't we already know this? Like, he's not the guy.
Maybe so, but I mean everybody's holding out hope.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of over it. Like, I'm over that hope. I think the contract showed you that the Rockets don't believe that there's the hope for that. If they would have believed that Jalen Green was that guy, they would have given him a much bigger contract that he was eligible for. Instead, they gave him this 3-year deal, and it makes it very tradable. And I don't think Jalen Green will be a Houston Rocket next season. I've been on that stance. I'm not going to back down from it. Honestly, like, if he can get traded in February, which I'm still not totally sure with all the CBA rules, like how long after a new deal you can be traded, it wouldn't shock me if he's not a Rocket at the deadline still. Because you're right, he's not the closer. They don't have the guy. They don't have a guy. Like, they have a bunch of dudes, but they don't have the guy that you can rely on when you need it most to score. That's why, even though I don't know if I'm really in the idea of a 36-year-old Jimmy Butler always ends poorly wherever he's at business, but at least he's like the guy that can close out games, and we've seen him do it in the playoffs over time. The Rockets don't have that. The guy is supposed to be Jalen, and he's just not it. And I don't trust Fred VanVleet to be the guy. I mean, we watched him yesterday pass up on open threes to take worse shots. Like, that's what he is. He's super inconsistent. He's a good role player, but he's not the guy that you want closing out this games. And until they get it, they're not actually going to compete in the playoffs. because they don't have anyone that when it matters most can be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Ja Morant or Luka Doncic or LeBron. They don't have a James Harden or Kawhi if he's healthy. They don't have a Jokic and Anthony Edwards. Those are the other teams that are in the top eight of the Western Conference Finals right now. They don't have a Steph Curry. Like, they don't have it.
No, and you can't trade Jalen Green into the summer. Like, based on my reading on that, I could be wrong. I'm like 90% confident. They can't trade Jalen Green until next offseason. So, to me, that might be the time that you do it. But at the same time, you're not going to just trade him to trade him. Like, I'm not blaming anybody, by the way. Like, I don't think Rafael Stone has had the chance to trade Jalen Green for an upgrade at that position. I think if he had that opportunity, it would have been done. I don't think they've been married to the idea of Jalen Green must be a Houston Rocket. But at the same time, they're not going to just give Jalen Green away. That would be stupid. That wouldn't make any sort of sense. So, like, I think he's been waiting. And I think part of the contract extension is that he doesn't want to give away like a pretty good player that has trade value for free, right? Because if he lets him play this year, well, he would have been a restricted free agent. At which point now it's kind of murky on the type of contract he's going to get, mm-hmm. and there might not be a contract out. Like, he might get a contract if he were a restricted free agent that you don't want to match. And if you don't match it, now you're losing a player that does have positive trade value for absolutely nothing. So I think the reason that he signed him was that he was kind of kicking the can down the road. Like, an opportunity hasn't presented itself yet. They don't want to lose a player who does have trade value for absolutely nothing. So let's give him this 3-year contract that is super tradable. We just can't trade it for a year. And at the same time, you're hoping he develops into that guy that you want him to be, which I think is fine. Like, I think Jalen Green's super young. Like, he's 22 years old. We've seen players that didn't have it at that age that eventually do get it. The problem is the Rockets do have to operate on a clock. They have to worry about his contract length. They have to worry about if an opportunity does exist, can they strike on that opportunity? So I don't think that the Rockets and Rafael Stone specifically have done anything wrong in their handling of Jalen Green. It's more my viewpoint of the player. And I've defended Jalen Green. I think it's important to let Jalen Green develop. It's important to look what Jalen Green looks like with more tutelage from Ime Udoka. But now the Rockets have kind of accelerated where they're at in the NBA, and I think that the major area that they could use an upgrade, if they do want to take that now next step in the NBA, is perimeter scoring, specifically a dude who you can count on late to get you a bucket when you absolutely need it.
Yeah, I think Jalen Green, to me, like, it's going to be very similar to my guesses, what we saw the career trajectory of Andrew Wiggins, where Andrew Wiggins was drafted with the first overall pick to be a franchise changer. He ends up in Minnesota, and it really never works out there, right? Like, he's a good player, but never really develops. And then eventually what happens? He gets traded, he moves around, but he becomes a really important and damn good role player for a championship-level team. And you look back at that draft, and you say, Andrew Wiggins, the number one pick in the draft, probably the right thing. But was he a franchise changer? Absolutely not. That's kind of what I feel like, Jeremy, the path of Jalen Green is right now, is we're going to look back and say that was a good pick for the Rockets, but what you needed him to be, he was not ever going to be. So you had to move him so he could be a great sixth man or something like that elsewhere, and you get a superstar player in return. I think he still has great value because of his age, and like, he will be the key piece of a trade most likely this offseason, like or whenever they end up doing it. But I still think the ceiling's high for Jalen. I just don't know if he's going to turn into the guy specifically the Rockets need him to be.
Yeah, if we're trying to project career trajectory, I would agree with that. Like, I think he's a sixth man on a good team. I don't think the Rockets need him to be their best perimeter scorer, right? He's not that. Like, you can't go, like, Alpi Şengün isn't the closer, right? Like, he kind of melts down late in close games, by the way. Like, let's say the quiet part out loud. Like, he kind of disappears a little bit in late game situations. He kind of, like, I don't want to use the word chokes in late game situations, but he looks a lot different in the final 5 minutes of a close game than he does in the first 43 minutes of a game. Just saying.
It's just like his style doesn't fit.
And he misses, like, all of a sudden he goes, like, he becomes a hack at the free throw line. Like, he barely hit iron against Minnesota on one of the free throws that he missed two. He missed two of four down the stretch. You make three of four, right? Make all of them, you win the game. And he absolutely clanked one. Like, it barely hit the front of the iron. It's like, oh, okay, that's kind of a gag there. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to miss them. It's one thing to, like, miss as badly as you've ever missed in your life. So, like, that kind of, like, catches my attention. And while I think the Andrew Wiggins comp is, like, solid in terms of their value to a team. I think they're very different players, Andrew Wiggins and Jalen Green. I think the better comp is Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford was a dude who was drafted in the top 10 in 2000. Like he was like, hey, come be the guy in Chicago, right? We're gonna make you that guy. He started a lot in his final 2 years there, and he scored a decent amount, not a ton, not as much as Jalen. But where did his career really take off? It's later in his career, late 20s, early 30s. He was coming off the bench. He was winning the sixth man of the year, like almost every year it seemed like. Like he was the sixth man of the year for a decade, it felt like. I think that's what Jalen Green is. I think Jalen Green's gonna be the dude on a good team in his late 20s, early 30s, where he can get you 20 a night, but you're not counting on him to get you 20 a night. You're not counting on him to be your closer. You're counting on him to give you a scoring punch, you know, early second quarter, late third quarter type of deal. I think that's what Jalen Green is.
I think it's totally fair. And like I said, like I think it's still like it shows that Rafael Stone made a good draft pick. It just didn't work out in the way of development that you would have wanted it to. And that's not a reflection of Stone, I would say. It's just a reflection of what the player is, the draft is. I mean, if he ends up being a three-time sixth man of the year like Jamal Crawford was, that's a huge win for his career. I mean, Jamal Crawford had an incredible career. He played for 20 years in the NBA. If you could beat Jamal Crawford, like there is not a lot of Jamal Crawfords out there. So, like it just doesn't work for the Rockets. I do think to the Alpi point though.
That's why you're not going to get rid of Jalen, though. That's why he's not chopped liver and you're just going to quit on him. That's why you have to wait for the right opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Josh Christopher, who apparently is on the Miami Heat, had no idea until Daniel Lerner tweeted that yesterday he was warming up before the game. Like, this is not that. This is not Ty Washington or these guys that people cried about and Rafael Stone took in the middle of the teens in the first round of the draft. Like, this is a guy who you're going to trade for, whether it's, you know, De'Aaron Fox or not Jimmy Butler, but like if there was a Devin Booker trade to be made, like any of these young players who are on the cusp of demanding trades in the NBA, like this is the kind of guy that they're going to want, because like they're going to want something of promise that's not just draft capital in return. And Jalen Green will be that guy, because what we'll see is wherever Jalen Green gets traded to, their fan base is going to cherry pick the hell out of highlights. They're going to say the Rockets are idiots, and they are going to be ecstatic of the player they eventually get in return.
What were you saying about Alpi?
I'm just not sure like his style of basketball. Like unless the game's going to really change and flip on it, like the way he closes, like they don't. I don't know, like I don't know if that's a guy. Like he's not Jokic. Like they're not going. Like, people want to call him Baby Jokic, but like, I'm not sure he's really a closer that you need out there. I mean, they're a better rebounding team, it feels like, when Steven Adams is on the floor. Everything Alpi needs is feels like it needs to be very European, like soccer, like where like he needs to like flail and complain and draw fouls throughout the entire game. And I'm just not sure that's gonna work in like in a closing moment in the playoffs when they call less fouls. Like the way he plays is not playoff basketball. Like he is not going to get the calls that he wants in the playoffs that are working for him. And I think that's why the Rockets need to make the playoffs, obviously, which they will. And like he needs that reality check of just like this garbage that he tries to do at times during the game. Because I was like. Like, where I was sitting last night, it really just, like, was kind of disgusting to watch him flop around instead of make actual basketball moves and trying to score. He was just foul hunting the whole time.
Yeah, there are some flaws in his game. Like, I like Alpi a lot. Yeah. I agree with you that he's not the dude that you need to be your creator, closer, with 2 minutes left to play, down by three. Or the dude that you're isolating at the top of the key with the game is tied, trying to get a game-winning bucket. And I think that's Ime Udoka's limitations to his roster, quite frankly, because I don't think he has a good option. I think that might be your best option. Is it really good compared to the NBA? No. Is Alpi your best option right now with your current roster? Yeah, probably, which is why it speaks to Jalen, which is why it speaks to Fred VanVleet, that Alpi Şengün is your best option to be the closer. Like, that's not a great roster build. Like, you need that perimeter guy that can be able to do that. And also, like, his defensive limitations. Like, Ime Udoka will take him out if he needs a defensive stop. Like, we saw it last night. He took Alpi Şengün out for a possession when he needed a defensive stop. So there's some limitations there. Also, did you notice, you might not have, you might have been leaving at this time. Dylan Brooks custom out for a shot that he took. Şengün took a three up by five with 6:12 left in the game with 16 seconds left on the shot clock. And Dylan Brooks, the very next dead ball, will custom out. Why are you taking that shot? Don't take that shot. He got cussed out by Dylan Brooks. He took a three up by five with 6:12 left in the game, 16 seconds left on the shot clock. He was acting like he's Steph Curry. Like he's a bad three-point shooter, and he's shooting a three, contested three, with 16 seconds left on the shot clock, and Dylan Brooks let him know about it. I'll post it, actually, because I think I screen grabbed it. I'm going to post it here during the timeout. Like, yeah, like can't be that guy. Can't be that guy.
Yeah.
All right, 713. Go ahead.
No, I just – and that's what – like, that's what I think these guys have been brought in here for. It's ironic because Fred VanVleet takes lots of terrible shots. But, like, at least someone's telling these guys when they're taking bad shots because they take a lot of them.
Yeah, they do. A couple of texts on this. Anthony Edwards was a closer on Friday. The Rockets didn't have an answer. I love Anthony Edwards. I'm so jealous of Minnesota having him. And
same.
Then another texter said Jordan Clarkson is a comp to Jalen Green. That's not a bad one, too, like when talking about trajectory. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are your Week 17 hot takes in the NFL? What did you think yesterday watching the league, or Saturday, three-game Saturday? You're like, you know what? I have a hot take now. What are they? 713-780-3776. Branham and George on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul and I have been traded since Branham and George today. Brian's in with us today. We'll see where he lands. What are your Week 17 hot takes? 713-780-ESPN. Games were scattered throughout the week. You had the two Christmas game days. You had three games on Saturday. I saw someone tweet, I don't know how accurate this is, that there were nine games played yesterday, another one on Monday. They said it was the fewest Sunday games played, like, in the last 30 years or something. That can't be true, can it?
I mean, no, it probably is, because think about it. Like, you know, you got two games on Christmas, Thursday night football, Monday, three Saturday games. I bet you that's true.
But if you get, like, a middle-of-the-year bye, like, sometimes, like, six teams can be on byes, right? So that takes out three games of 16. That puts you down to 13. You have a Thursday nighter that's 12. You have a Monday nighter. Maybe so. Maybe so. That's interesting. I don't mind Saturday NFL once college football is done. We talked
totally
about the weekday football the other day. Like, that's kind of not great, but I don't mind the Saturday games.
No, I don't mind the Saturday games. I'm fine with that. But it is weird to have. But see, but then again, like, but then red zone's a terrible experience. Like, it's if you're watching, like, this is a great weekend for red zone if you're a Texans fan because they're not playing. Besides the fact that half the games just were terrible, and majority of the quarterbacks are backups playing in the noon window yesterday. It also just like having so few games. It's like it's just not very exciting football, honestly. So. That's the only negative about like the drawback of the Saturday games, but Saturday was fun for sure.
Yeah. I don't need NFL red zone to be good. I like watching the games in its entirety, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's
like,
championship
to me, it tells
weekend,
more
though.
Of the story. What do you mean?
It's championship weekend in fantasy football. Like it's the number one red zone weekend of the year.
Yeah, that is true. That's a good point. All right, what are your Week 17 hot takes? What do you got? What did you see this weekend? You're like, okay, I'm compelled to have this hot take.
I've missed. You know, you tell me how terrible my takes are. So
I have. I haven't missed that though. I enjoy that. I still tell you.
I know.
I still indirectly tell you that your takes are bad.
Sometimes it's direct.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer them to be direct, but it doesn't stop me from being indirect about it.
The Minnesota Vikings should trade J.J. McCarthy and sign Sam Darnold to a new contract. He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if I disagree with this a whole lot. One of my hot takes was the Vikings have to bring back Sam Darnold. So how you get there, I think that you probably painted a little bit more of a picture on how to get there. I don't know if I would trade McCarthy, though. Like, why not just keep him?
Yeah, but, like, are you going to pay? Like, wouldn't you...
If you just tag Darnold, though. Like, now, it's kind of weird that you're going to pay Sam Darnold top five quarterback money. But the benefit of that is that it's not long term. So if he starts to regress second half of next year, it's like, well, we already have the heir apparent.
It's true. And we saw the way they operated this offseason was honestly, it was perfect execution because they knew what they were getting with Kirk Cousins. They knew to move on. They brought in Sam Darnold and they drafted a quarterback. Now they're in a position where they can franchise tag Sam Darnold. And then trade him if they want to. Like, they could trade him to the 49ers. They could trade him to a different team in the NFL and get assets in return that way, where they can flip McCarthy or they can keep both of them and let him go into a battle. But if they win on Sunday are the number one seed and they go to the Super Bowl or something like that, like I don't know how you keep the locker room and things like that when they clearly love Sam. So I like honestly, he's been so good this year. It's really impressive. Like Kevin O'Connell is definitely the coach of the year. I don't think it's even in question.
Yeah,
that he is the coach of the year this year.
I'm a big fan of him. I think that he's really, really good.
I'm very
jealous. I like him a lot. Yeah, but if it's just so weird, Sam Darnold's career, because he's been not very good. Like, and if he can do that with a not very good quarterback, what can he do with a first round quarterback?
So like, who that's wasn't why very good in college?
Yeah, I mean, he was just not asked to do a whole lot, you know? Like, here, yeah. Hand the ball off. Like, he wasn't asked to be this guy who just goes out and wins a Heisman or put up huge numbers. So I would be curious to see what he can do with McCarthy. That's why I wouldn't be quick to trade him. I guess if you can get, like, a top 15 pick, then it makes some sense. But I think it makes some sense to tag Darnold and also keep McCarthy. And then that way, if Darnold starts to stink, well, then you have J.J. McCarthy. And there's also not the urgency to trade him. Like, you could trade him next offseason.
Yeah.
So now it wouldn't have as much value because he wouldn't have as much left on his deal.
Don't you think that this is the part – if you're going to do it, like – like, look what's coming in the draft. Like, you've got three or four teams that need a quarterback, and you've got two quarterbacks in this draft. You've got Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. J.J. McCarthy is definitely in the mix with those guys, if not a better prospect than at least one of them, I would imagine. So you would think that a team like the Titans or the Giants or the Raiders or these three teams that are desperate for a quarterback right now, one of them might pay you a king's ransom. So you could have Sam Darnold, and you could, you know, go up and get Travis Hunter, or you could go get, you know, a wide receiver that you, if you want to add to your room, or get an offensive lineman or the best defensive player in the draft this year. They have so many options. Like they've done this better than any team in the NFL has handled their quarterback situation, from adding Kirk Cousins and replacing Case to the way they've got here now. They have just executed this perfectly without drafting a first-round pick until J.J., and now it seems like they don't even need him. It's incredible.
Yeah, and maybe it does come down to what you can get for him. Like, if there's a certain, you know, price that you have and somebody meets that price, okay, let's do it. But if they don't meet the price, well, you're not in an urgent need to trade them. So maybe it comes down to that price. I would argue, though, like, you know, you're saying perfect execution and how they've handled the quarterback position from, like, a GM perspective. I think it's more about O'Connell being able to groom quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know he hasn't been there for all of them, but like no one's been able to do this with Sam Darnold. No one. No one. And then Kevin O'Connell has Sam Darnold playing at a level where it makes sense to pay him top five quarterback money with a franchise tag. So
Kirk Cousins
I think
got
Kevin
benched
really
without
good.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like another like credit to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Kevin O'Connell a lot. I think Michael Penix may have it. I think he's really good. Didn't have great numbers yesterday, but they need a final drive, and what does he do? Leads him right down the field, throws a touchdown pass. Was it on fourth down? I know they converted at least one fourth down on that final drive. I think Michael Penix, I think he might have a little bit of it. I don't know how great he's going to be, but that dude seems to be clutch.
Yeah, I like Penix. I mean, look, the rookie quarterbacks this weekend had a great weekend. I mean, you've got besides like, or at least on Sunday. I mean, Daniels and Penix was fun. You got big drives earlier in the day from, I guess just those two guys. I'm thinking of Bo Nix on Saturday. But Bo Nix was like, he has good moments on Saturday's game, like big time throws, bad pick at the end there, obviously in the fourth quarter. But like rookie quarterbacks have hit well, but I'm kind of with you on Penix. He looked good. I'm still curious like what his ceiling is, because like not super accurate, which is kind of feel like something that we were accustomed to seeing at Indiana or Washington. But
yeah,
it's a second game. Like, I mean, they're fighting for their lives to be in the playoffs, and they're having to bench a franchise quarterback supposedly for him. There's only so much he can do. I'm curious about Atlanta going forward now.
Yeah, they have skill around him too. Like they should be a pretty fun team. Because they had the skill around Penix. What other hot takes do you have?
Sorry, my computer froze here for a second. Saquon Barkley is going to play this weekend and get the rushing title.
Yeah, I think he'll play. I think he'll chase it. I think he'll chase after the rushing title.
Which is weird, because remember earlier in the season when he could have gone for the single game record and chose not to? So like that kind of spits in the face of that. But by the way, I was right about the Eagles for BZ Money that we didn't take. Just for the record,
they covered.
Well, we also
what?
Didn't miss a game, so we're all right.
I know. We didn't.
No, so far we haven't missed a single game.
Nice.
With Jeremy's Detroit pick yet remaining, but otherwise we're perfect.
Nice. That's good. You know, I had the Eagles winning. They won 41-7. So
yeah, they won by a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I like that. Speaking of the Lions tonight, I think they should treat all their stars like tonight is a preseason game, where they either sit all of them or just play them a series or two. Because the game tonight means nothing now. It means absolutely nothing. It has zero stakes. Their game against Minnesota will carry all of the stakes in the NFC. It'd be the division title on the line next week, the number one seed in the NFC on the line next week. Tonight's game has zero ramifications. Zero ramifications. I feel like the Lions should make sure that they get their stars right. Don't play them. And I'm not saying this at all because I lead by 4 or 5 points in my championship league, and I have a sweat tonight with a couple of Lions on the other team. It has nothing to do with that.
No, I'm kind of with you. Look, next week is going to be it's set up perfectly. Sunday Night Football, you know, the last game of the season, Vikings Lions. Like it's going to be incredible television. I'm with you. I think if I was Detroit, I wouldn't play my guys. Like, I'm not. I mean,
why would you?
They have, what, two starters?
Because I need Jahmyr Gibbs to get 17.1 points to win my Keeper League Championship. That's why they play, Jeremy. Thank
you. No, they shouldn't play. No, Dan Campbell should make sure that Gibbs sits, Goff sits,
everyone
LaPorta
else sits, but
are
the offensive linemen and Gibbs have to play.
The Lions have – did I read this right? Were the Lions –
he could probably
or
get
did I
half.
Read this right? The Lions have the most players on IR in the NFL.
I mean, they're missing.
Sounds right.
They're missing their entire defense besides two guys. Every single one of them.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure that's right. So if you have all of your players, not all, but if you lead the NFL and most players on the IR, why would you play your stars in a meaningless game in Week 17 where next week has everything on the line?
Yeah, the Lions have 21 players currently on injured reserve, most in the NFL.
Yeah, I did remember that, right?
16 defensive players on injured reserve.
And basically, don't play your dudes. Crazy. Entire defensive line, too.
Yeah, don't play your dudes.
Except for
don't play
Gibbs.
Them. No, none of them. Play none of them, especially Jahmyr Gibbs and especially Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, especially
don't
with
play
David
those
Montgomery
two especially. Yeah, those two especially. They cannot afford Jahmyr Gibbs being out for multiple weeks. They cannot afford Amon-Ra to be out for multiple weeks. Those guys especially should not be playing in tonight's game. What hot take do you have, Brian?
I think now this is comes with a little bit of a caveat, assuming that the Ravens hold on to the AFC North and are hosting a playoff game. But I think the Chargers are the road playoff team in the first round that teams most don't want to play. They've got the number one defense and in points allowed. Herbert's got that upper level that I don't think a lot of these road teams like the Steelers with Russell Wilson, like a lot of these quarterbacks don't have. And I know we've probably spent a lot of time talking about, well, they don't have weapons, but Ladd McConkey has been great as a rookie, and now J.K. Dobbins is back, and he's definitely not the top running back in the playoffs, but he's adequate at least. So I think the Chargers are a dangerous team people want no part of.
I like that. I mean, they've got maybe the best coach in the NFL.
And that, you were mentioning Kevin O'Connell's going to run away with Coach of the Year, and you're probably right, but I think number two's got to be Harbaugh.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Harbaugh won it still, honestly. The fact that what he's – because the turnaround has to matter too, right?
Sure.
And I know the Vikings had a top 10 pick as well to get McCarthy or whatever it was. I guess they might have traded up. But, I mean, to go from the fifth pick in the draft to a 10-win team in one season with – largely the same roster on defense, but you actively chose to get rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler, so you've changed your offense pretty entirely, and he deserves a lot of credit. It's why he was the best coach on the market, and any franchise that didn't want to hire him is idiots. I'm fine with that take. The Chargers being
wouldn't want to play the Ravens.
It's Lamar. I'm kidding.
I said it at the very front of this caveat. I think the Ravens hold on to the AFC North and are a home team. So I'm talking about road teams currently based upon the current seeding.
Also wouldn't want to play the Bengals.
Yeah. I don't think the Bengals get in, though. So, I mean, this is, again, kind of a speculation.
If the Bengals win on Sunday, Joe Burrow MVP?
No.
No.
I mean, the numbers he's put up this season –
Him winning's not enough for them to get in, though. They need to win and have both the Broncos and Dolphins lose.
I think what is Pro Bowl Tyler Huntley going to come to the rescue? The Broncos are the problem.
Yeah, because they're facing Carson Wentz.
Most likely.
I think Burrow will finish third in MVP voting.
So, Jeremy, you think the Ravens are scarier than the Chargers?
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to put a wager on that?
The Ravens and Chargers?
Well, they're gonna play on Jeremy's side here. That's a spicy take, Joe.
They're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. I'll take the Chargers.
You want to take the Chargers over the Ravens?
Yep.
All right, what are the stakes here? If they meet in the first round,
by the way,
over the Ravens.
I'm not you owe Jeremy.
By the way,
yeah, you do owe me. That's a good
time out. Time out. I'm not lying here. Okay, I forgot you weren't here today. There's a bottle of Gentle Ben in my car for you, so you'll get it on Thursday.
Okay, that sounds
just
good.
For the record, it's literally in my car.
We can go double or nothing. We can go double or nothing. That's fine.
I don't
what do you want the stakes to be.
We can just do another bottle. It's fine with me.
If they play. Okay, well, if you hand me my bottle, I'll hand it to you back if they lose. That's double or nothing. Okay, well, yeah, that's fine. We'll do that. So you're taking the Chargers over the Ravens
if
they play.
Yeah. Which I think, I mean, I can't imagine. Even if the Broncos win,
Joe, you're so dumb. I feel bad. Okay, why would you make this bet straight up?
Because,
you're going to get the Chargers will be getting points. Yeah, I took advantage of you, but I don't care.
It's going to be Baltimore at home. They're going
to
be, what, like a three and a half, 4 point favorite?
As I was talking that out, I kind of assumed I was getting the points, but I just realized I didn't say that, so we'll do straight up.
Yeah, straight up.
Straight up.
I took advantage of you. You're going to turn out to be right, though. It's going to be funny.
Yep.
The last one that I have is Aaron. I've been holding on to the Aaron Rodgers thing. I've been holding on to the guy. I like greats to play for a long time. Like, I like to watch all-time greats, and Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great. But I think it's time. I think it's time for Aaron Rodgers. I think that I think he's done. I think he's toast. The only thing that would make sense for me would be if Aaron Rodgers went to San Francisco to back up Brock Purdy. That's the only way I want Aaron Rodgers to continue. But other than that,
no.
Just leave. Just
no,
go.
We need
you're not good anymore.
No, we need the report that came out yesterday to come to fruition. I need Aaron Rodgers in Cleveland, quarterback competition,
no.
Deshaun Watson.
No, that's not what we need.
Give it to me.
We need him to continue.
Hard knocks.
We need him to continue his Brett Favre trajectory, have Sam Darnold leave in free agency, and then Aaron Rodgers goes to Minnesota because Kevin O'Connell can't lose with any quarterback on earth.
No. I don't need Aaron
Rodgers. I like the Garrett Wilson idea. That would be silly if the Jets were to keep Rodgers and trade Garrett Wilson, though.
That would be a wild move.
Even the Jets, who've been traditionally a laughingstock of an organization, even they can't screw that up, right?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
Rodgers,
the Jets.
Yeah, it is the Jets.
I mean, just see what
the longest playoff drought in the NFL for a reason.
Did you see what Sauce Gardner said yesterday?
Told Higgins not to come?
Yeah, told Higgins not to come to the Jets. Someone said, someone recruit Higgins to the Jets on Instagram and tagged Sauce Gardner. He said, I'm not telling him that.
Well, maybe he really likes Garrett Wilson.
Maybe he really likes, maybe he just really hates the Jets.
Yeah, maybe he does hate the Jets. He also said that everybody might be mailing it in because they've already been eliminated. Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, he said it publicly. Like, not many people say that
publicly. They definitely mailed it in yesterday.
Yeah, they did do that. Did you see Rappaport's report that the Browns might be interested in Cousins and Rodgers? That makes no sense to me.
Well, they need a quarterback that costs $1 million or $2 million. Kirk Cousins will not cost you much when he gets cut.
I don't know. I think he will. I think Kirk's still going to get some money.
It's going to be just like Russell Wilson. He's going to get paid by the Falcons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So he's going to get the vet minimum. So
would make more sense than Rodgers then.
Yeah. Yes. For sure. So I could definitely see Kirk Cousins and Deshaun. Which is a wild quarterback room.
Talk about
room.
Talk about an odd couple.
Yeah.
That's the spectrum. Like, you always hear, opposite ends of the spectrum. That's the spectrum. Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Watson is the spectrum.
A godly man and a pervert.
Yeah. Why don't you like Rodgers Rodgers to San Francisco? What's wrong with that?
I'm fine with that one.
Be with Shanahan.
I mean, it would make sense. Cousins or Rodgers to San Francisco makes sense because I wouldn't pay Brock Purdy $50 million, so... Hard pass on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Like, just move on from Purdy and pay Rodgers $1 million and spend the money elsewhere.
Yeah,
Pessimistic Chad. Not sure how hot this take is, but man, the Texans aren't close. Another text: love Burrow, but his team let him down. That is true. And another text: the overtime rule. We are changing all the stupid rules. Let's fix the game. Changing the rules sucks. I like the playoff overtime rule. Quite frankly, I don't like the sudden death where a field goal wins it, though. I think that it's better. I think the current NFL regular season rule is better than the old rule, quite frankly.
No, totally agree. I think it's better than it was, which is saying something for the NFL.
All right, let's talk about the Texans, Pessimistic Chad. He doesn't think that they're very close. You had a weekend to let the Texans marinate on you. How you feeling about them? 713-780-3776. It is Branham and George on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Load and Ready to Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.